It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
So many items in the news, you never know where to start. But I guess it won't be much of a surprise if I start with a comment from President Trump. What else? Now, this is already a dated comment. The news morphs so quickly. Much has happened since he said this, but it does warrant commentary. So let's not move on too quickly. Let's back up and have a look. Speaking with reporters shortly after his frustration that a ceasefire he had been celebrating seemed to dissolve even faster than it began, Trump said, "Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and dropped a boatload of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before, the biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel." Okay, when I say now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard, they don't know what the F they're doing. Do you understand? And of course, everybody heard the word without the censorship. You all know what that F-bomb was. All right, let me respond. As you know, if you've been following my radio show or my columns any amount of time, I have been a big supporter of President Trump. I am very happy and very grateful to have him as our commander-in-chief. I understand what he's trying to do in the Middle East. I know he sees himself as a peacemaker. Even when it doesn't happen, I appreciate his intentions. I have defended this man on all fronts. Over the air, I've corrected the lies and historical revision. I have demonstrated that he's not racist, not anti-Semitic, and I've said that as a Jew. I have shown the context of January 6. I have shown the context of his Charlottesville remarks. I have defended him on immigration, tax cuts. I have defended him against the deep state, the groundless charges that first tried to remove him from office following impeachment and later tried to jail him as a 2024 candidate. I have been a supporter of Donald Trump, a huge supporter of Donald Trump. And personally, I have taken a lot of criticism for supporting him. I have lost friends for supporting him. I supported him anyway, and I still do. But let me say this as carefully as I can. I support Trump as a free thinker and commentator, not as a groupie. I will not stick up for the man, right or wrong. If I did, that would make me as bad as the Democrats who turn on him, right or wrong. This comment about the so-called peace between Israel and Iran, I did not like it. But let me also clarify before I go on. Most people are making an issue out of his using the F word and how unseemly that is coming from our president. Of course, the Democrats have been using that word themselves while huffing and puffing against Trump. They've used it quite a lot lately, as if the word was going out of style, so they're in no position to talk, obviously. But others, conservatives, Christians, don't like that kind of talk or any of the rude insults Trump has often unleashed over the years. For myself, I never cared for the F word, and I don't always like other things that come out of Trump's mouth, but I don't have as much problem with his manners as some people do. Instead, I view his manners as somewhat of a double-edged sword. I do find it refreshing to see a man who doesn't speak like a politician, who doesn't consult with handlers and focus groups who say, well, you can't say this or you'll offend that group. You can't say that or you'll offend this group. It can be argued that he won both elections by talking without a filter and not being like anyone else. So sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't like it. All in all, I find the man refreshing. But this time, it bothered me. I am very disappointed that he lashed out against Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, a loyal partner who has taken on the Middle East turmoil with him, shared intelligence. Granted, Israel gets a lot of help and funding from the United States, but this partnership also exists because both men share the same values, both men are strong leaders, both men have navigated a great deal of criticism and resistance from the liberals in their own countries. Now, before I go on, I know what somebody out there is thinking. Sure, Bob, we get it. You say you won't defend Trump, right or wrong, but you always have defended Trump in the past. And the only reason you aren't sticking up for him now is because he criticized Israel and you're Jewish. It's the Jewish people whom you defend, right or wrong. Not so. Not so on either account, not even close. I have criticized Trump on other matters, not just Israel. And while it's true that I am Jewish, I have not defended my fellow Jews, right or wrong. Many Jews in America are leftists and liberals. I'm at great odds with them. George Soros is Jewish. I can't stand George Soros. Chuck Schumer is Jewish. I can't stand Chuck Schumer. And while I was born Jewish, I am a Jew who converted to Christianity. That may not be incompatible in my mind. In my mind, that does not make me less Jewish. Christianity, after all, means follower of Christ, and Christ comes from a Greek translation of a Jewish word Messiah. To me, being a follower of the Messiah does not make me less Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. All of his disciples were Jewish. The original church was Jewish. In time, as history progressed, more and more Gentiles and less Jews became part of the church, to the point where these days it sounds bizarre for a Jewish person to say he's also a Christian. But I do say that loudly and clearly. In fact, my career is largely centered around Christian apologetics. I have paid a price for this from fellow Jews. I've been labeled a traitor to my own people. I've been told that I am not truly Jewish. When I first converted in college, I was disowned by my father, pronounced dead, and kicked out of the house. I've received resistance from Jewish groups when speaking on college campuses, so don't tell me I defend the Jews right or wrong. That is simply not true. But I do support Israel's right to exist. I condemn the historical revision, which says they have no ancient claim to the Holy Land and that they are occupiers of somebody else's land. I believe that when they are attacked, they have a right to defend themselves. And I am sick and tired of the United States, albeit a friend to Israel, telling them that they have to have ceasefires after they do defend themselves, forcing them to stop just when they could have put their enemies out of commission once and for all. Now, Donald Trump has been more of a friend to Israel than any other president. I am not unmindful of that. He's certainly been better than that baboon corpse who haunted the White House the previous 4 years. And I know Trump likes to make deals. He's good at it. He's probably better at making deals than anyone in history. But you can't make a deal with everyone. There isn't always moral equivalency, and there's certainly none with Iran. Iran has threatened to exterminate every Jew in Israel and every Jew in the world. Their proxy group, Hamas, attacked Israel on October 7, raping women, slicing the heads off of babies. So Israel went after them, and all we've heard since is that Israel and Hamas should have a ceasefire. Why? So Hamas can do that again someday? Now Israel has Iran, the head of the snake, on the ropes, and she's told again that she needs to have a ceasefire. Israel is fighting for her life. In this recent exchange of fire, Israel was taking out military targets. Iran was targeting civilians. Oh, yes, they'll agree to a deal. They'll sign a deal, but they will not keep a deal, and they will not keep this one. Donald Trump should not make the mistake of viewing this deal as an end in itself. This deal will not last. Trump could let Israel finish the job, and there would still be peace in the Middle East. Why? Because the destruction of evil is the road to peace, not deals with evil. Now, having said all that, I can still understand Trump's frustration. Israel and Iran, for better or worse, had just agreed to a ceasefire and instantly it got broken. But Iran is the country who broke it. Trump tried to downplay that by saying it was just one lone missile. Maybe it was even a mistake. Maybe. Perhaps. But one missile or mistaken missile. Bottom line, Iran broke the deal. Israel had a right to retaliate. Trump called Netanyahu and told him to turn the planes around. These were his words. Israel is not going to attack Iran. All planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran. Now, I didn't like the sound of that any more than Trump likes the sound of a judge telling him to turn around a plane carrying illegal criminals out of our country. I know. In Trump's mind, this is also about the fact that he allowed both Israel and Iran to stop fighting at a certain time, wind things down, blow off some steam. He feels Israel took advantage of that little bit of time left and really went to town on Iran. Okay, I get it. That frustrates a man who wants to make a deal, but for Pete's sakes, couldn't he have talked to Netanyahu alone, friend to friend, instead of offering that tirade on TV? Are those the actions of a friend? On the other hand, as I said, his comment is already dated, so I must go on to acknowledge that it didn't take long for Trump to jump right back in and come to the side of his friend. You see, now that Netanyahu has come through for Israel, saving the country from almost certain destruction, his political enemies in Israel feel his usefulness is over, and they're ready to resume their goal of getting rid of the man. Trump is now speaking against Netanyahu's trial over corruption. He wants it canceled or dissolved through a pardon. Look, I don't live in Israel. I can't say I know the truth about these corruption charges. I know there are many who oppose Netanyahu politically in Israel, and this smells like the kind of lawfare that Trump has faced in America, which is probably what makes Trump so sympathetic. My point right now is it didn't take Trump long to get over his anger and jump right back to Netanyahu's defense, so I'm grateful for that. He says, "Such a witch hunt for a man who has given so much is unthinkable to me. Bibi Netanyahu's trial should be canceled immediately or a pardon given to a great hero. Bibi and I just went through hell together fighting a very tough and brilliant longtime enemy of Israel, Iran. And Bibi could not have been better, sharper, or stronger in his love for the incredible Holy Land. Anybody else would have suffered losses, embarrassment, and chaos." Yes, Trump hits very hard, but he's always very forgiving and very loyal to his friends, so let's give him credit. So much for his relationship with Netanyahu. What about the peace agreement? Well, the Iran parliament is still shouting death to Israel, and they're still shouting death to America. For any long-lasting peace deal, and this is just a ceasefire, it's not an official deal carved in stone yet, if anything can be carved in stone to the Iranians, as part of a real, on-lasting deal, Iran should be asked if they're going to recognize Israel's right to exist. Iran should be asked if they're going to stop shouting death to Israel, death to America. That will tell us immediately whether or not Iran wants peace. But just in case the suspense is killing you and you can't wait, I'll tell you now, they don't want peace. In fact, the Ayatollah says they defeated Israel in America. Yeah, sure they did. That's like Japan after Hiroshima saying, "We showed them. We hope the Americans have learned their lesson." But we do have a few lessons to learn in America, such as insisting that the people we elect to Congress have learned a lesson or two and have at least the slightest modicum of intelligence before they become the leaders of our country. I'm talking about AOC and Jasmine Crockett, many others, but they're the two popular ones now. They're both insisting that Trump get impeached over this action about Iran. Of course, they were going to insist that Trump get impeached no matter what he did. But the latest is that it was unconstitutional to order this strike on Iran. And I didn't think anybody could sound stupider than AOC, but Jasmine Crockett just takes the cake. She says, "So long story short, for those of you who are unaware, the mofo that resides in the White House has unilaterally, in my estimation, declared war. We are living in this time in which there is someone who is occupying the White House who does not care about any rules, any norms, any laws, nor the Constitution, and we cannot be a civilized society if there is no law and order." Jasmine Crockett calling for law and order. How does she say this with a straight face? Yeah, she loves to talk about law and order when she's not defending the rights of illegal people in our country. She goes on, You could have hollered at us on Monday if you truly felt there was something like, there is nothing that we will say that will make me believe that this action needed to take place, and it needed to take place without the consultation of Congress. My friends, listening to these twits talk is the greatest argument that a president should not have to get permission from Congress. He's going to get permission about a secret military operation? It'll be a secret about 5 minutes long. All right, maybe 6 minutes long. But if their words don't convince you, perhaps the Constitution itself will, because these two imbeciles wouldn't know the Constitution from a listing of ingredients on the back of a Del Monte vegetable can. It is true that only Congress can declare war. But when the country faces attack or imminent danger, Article 2 gives our commander-in-chief the right to call out our military for defense. And there is no Crockett Clause saying otherwise. Even the War Powers Act, passed in the 1970s, doesn't demand that the president get congressional approval before acting, only letting them know within 48 hours. And by the way, which of the Democrats complained when Obama authorized the bombing of Libya? Or Clinton bombed Sudan, Somalia, other places? Can you just imagine if the Greeks had to consult with Jasmine Crockett before the Trojan War? She'd put out a press release, word to the wise, that wooden horse outside your walls, I wouldn't bring it into the city. But it would be unfair to Jasmine and AOC to act like they're the only ones making moronic comments. For example, there are a lot of mystic women these days saying that Kamala won the election. They're not basing it on any facts or statistics. It's a feeling. A lot of them just woke up the morning after the election and they felt that she won. So nothing's going to convince them otherwise. Now, I know how incredibly stupid that sounds because it is incredibly stupid. But believe it or not, this movement is gaining traction on social media. They feel with every fiber of their being that Trump lost, so he must have lost. You see? If you have evidence that Trump won in 2020 and you share it, you're an election denier. But if without a shred of evidence, you simply feel that Kamala won, well, that's a horse of a different color. Why not? It's not much different than a woman who feels in her heart that she's really a man. All we need next is for a judge to make a ruling based on what he feels is constitutional. Oh, wait, they already do that. Unfortunately, mere feelings often change our political landscape. One day after the 2008 victory for Obama, I was on a plane, and I was sitting next to a woman. We got to talking about the election. She called herself a libertarian. When I asked her who she voted for, she said Obama. I said, you realize that Obama is a socialist, and socialists are as far to the left of libertarian as you can get. A libertarian believes in less government interference. A socialist believes in all kind of government interference. She said she didn't know that. I said, well, then what compelled you to vote for Obama? She said, I just get a good vibe from him. A good vibe. Well, now the Democrats have a new Obama. At least some are calling him a new Obama. And for very similar reasons, the vibe, the strong personality, Zoran Mamdani has just won the Democrat primary and could become the next New York City mayor. The man is in his 30s. He's being hailed by a lot of single women as handsome, charismatic, relatable. He won't acknowledge Israel's right to exist. He won't condemn the Holocaust. He says the next time Netanyahu comes to New York City, he'll have him arrested. He's a self-described socialist, but if you listen to his policies, they're more communist. Communism is the extreme evolution of socialism. He wants government-run grocery stores. Have you ever been to a government-run post office and waited in line? You could pitch a tent and cook yourself a meal on a Coleman stove before you're called to the front. He wants to abolish the police. If you have an emergency, he wants to send social workers instead of the police. He wants to abolish ICE. He wants free buses, free health care, free child care. He wants the city to confiscate apartment buildings, and he's going to pay for all this by taxing the rich, which already pay through their noses. Which means even more people will leave New York City and move to Florida, continuing what has already been significant migration. So there will be nothing to fund these ideas, and New York will sink even lower into the ground if you thought that was possible. Oh, and he also accepts global intifada. He's not just a Muslim, he's an Islamist. Those are the ones that endorse terrorism. Now, you'll see him walk some of these things back before the general election, but he's already on record with all of these things. A Holocaust-denying communist Nazi. but he's relatable. He's good looking. Young women are getting a good vibe. And after all, isn't that what it's really all about? This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob. I mean, once again, here comes some more things where every single day we have this news story, and then next thing you know, more news comes out. More information comes out to better understand certain things are happening. So I just wanted to add one more thing to your monologue. So one of the things that I wanted to also add was about the Iran situation specifically. I remember even during them saying that we've won the war, they said our next target is the U.S. And he said specifically, according to his office administration, every American soldier and citizen is a target now, is
yeah.
what they said publicly.
Yeah, and that's a declaration of war.
Exactly.
That is a declaration of war.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is after this whole situation, after the ceasefire, and I say in quotes.
I think Trump's going to probably try to play the legalese and go, well, until they technically attack us, we won't do anything. I think Trump just grows to love these deals as ends in themselves.
Right.
And that sometimes he's just in denial when they're not working. I appreciate the effort, but there's not going to be any deal with them. They might sign something, but there isn't going to be anything lasting.
Right. I don't trust Iran as
now we can say there's a difference between their actual government and the Ayatollah figurehead, but still, with all those people right in their parliament shouting death to America, death to Israel.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, what surprised me was this weekend, WWE, the wrestling company, they had a wrestling event over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I heard heard about that.
Yeah, so I thought they would have shut that down. Think of the safety of not only your coworkers, but the wrestlers themselves as well, too. But they still had the show. I did not hear any incidences, as far as I know of, for sure. So
I don't think we're going to see the Iranian government officially send any more missiles or anything against American bases. I do think what we need to watch are these proxy groups.
Okay.
And I know that Hamas and Hezbollah, they've been decimated, but they've got sleeper cells all over America, probably all over Europe. That's where I believe the next tech is going to be.
See, my next thing is that, okay, so they know that Trump is serious here. Maybe they're thinking, okay, let's wait another 3 years. Let's see what the American public does.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of bravado, and they're not going to cross Trump, but they're thinking, hey, chances are we'll get another moron like Biden in there. And
okay.
Just bide our time.
No, not Newsom. Anybody but Newsom, please. I'm begging you.
It could. Well, yeah, Newsom would be almost as bad as Biden.
Well, speaking of Newsom, since he is our state, I'm not very good at segues. I got to work on that. but we have some new laws that are coming
into play.
Well,
we did say stupid and moron. That was good enough of a segue for Newsom.
Thank you. So we have some new California laws that are going to be coming here in July 1st. So I'm going to read quite a few of them, and you tell me what you think of them.
I haven't even heard them yet, and I can already tell you what I think of them. But go ahead.
All right. So we'll start off with this one. This one.
I'm just saying, I know where they came from. I don't know what they are. I know where they came from, so okay. I know what I think of them. But go ahead.
I'm going to save the top two ones for later.
Oh,
for sure.
Great.
These ones are going to be the small ones.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah. So we have AB 2202, which is disclosing cleaning fees and penalties. So whenever you go to an Airbnb, for example, they have to say, hey, there's this cleaning fee that's going to be charged extra to your account. We will refund the money if the person that is having the Airbnb says you did a good job cleaning.
I don't really have a problem with that one, I guess.
So here they're saying that they're allowed to add an extra fee, but they do have to be upfront and say that there will be an extra fee.
Well, we don't want people to become like Frontier Airline where you buy your ticket and then it's like, oh, did you want a seat on the plane? You didn't want to just stand and hold the rail? Oh, you want the deluxe edition?
I didn't know you could reference Frontier Airlines here tonight, Bob. That was very good. Another one we have is SB 1350, workplace protections expand to a certain group of workers. This is having to deal with workplace safety and health regulations that Cal and OSHA enforces, and they have been extending it to household domestic services, such as house cleaning companies. So that will be going on to July 1st. SB 1144, selling stolen goods on online marketplaces. This requires that online marketplaces alert law enforcement if a third-party seller is selling or attempting to sell stolen goods.
Okay, now this is California.
Yes.
So it's okay to go into the grocery store and steal up to $999.
Yes.
I mean, I know the people voted against that, but Newsom was okay with that. So it's okay to do that. But then if you want to take your stolen goods and sell them over the internet hosting company is going to get blamed for allowing you to do it.
Right, exactly.
So once again, everybody but the criminal is getting blamed.
But here's the other thing, too. Okay, so we got the stolen part. But what about the parts that are aftermarket situations? Like one thing that I do on Saturday mornings is auto talk radio, where we talk about aftermarket car parts. That could be really dangerous sometimes. Like, for example, the host of the show, his name is Brian, he mentioned that there was a story where a person bought an aftermarket brake pad. Turned out it was just a block of wood, so sawdust was getting inside the car and actually damaged and it killed the drivers and the passengers inside the car. So not only are we just talking about just specific stolen goods, but I wish we could go even further with this law, with third party people that are trying to scam people out of money specifically. That's really dangerous and can hurt people in the long run, such as those aftermarket parts or some other aftermarket situation with toys or things of that nature. Just to continue on very quickly with SB 1144, these online marketplaces are also required to establish and maintain this policy, and it prohibits the sale of stolen goods on an online marketplace. In doing so, establish the consequences for breaking this policy, such as having their accounts suspended or terminated. Oh, the horrors of just being suspended. You know how easy it is to make another account on these online marketplaces in the first place, so.
Well, the real issue here, since it is coming from Sacramento, I'm not seeing what this is going to do against global warming. I'm not quite making that connection. It's got to have something to do with that, right?
I saw a funny story last week where it said it was the hottest temperature in Boston. It was like 100. It was nearly 120 degrees over there. But over in Ely, Nevada, it was the lowest temperature ever at 23 degrees ever recorded in Ely.
When it's the lowest temperature, they scream climate change. When it's the hottest, it's aha, aha, see, global warming.
There's no wind. No. Oh,
involved no matter what. Yeah. They've got their narrative written out no matter what.
So some other laws that are coming about. There's only one more, and then I'll get into the top two that I think you and I can have a big discussion on. It's AB 438, Planning Further Education for Students with Disabilities. This law will require that individualized education programs, or IEPs, include post-secondary goals and transition services when the student with an IEP starts high school, if determined appropriate for a student's IEP team. So in other words, they only allowed this up to middle school, and then when they get to high school, they have a separate program. Here, this is saying, no, that plan will continue on to high school. Personally, I say that's a good thing, personally. I mean, you should be continuing on what sort of trends these people are dealing with in the elementary school, and not just like, oh, now you're in high school, so now you got to wipe your hands clean, and now you're a new person entirely, because you're not. You're still that same person. You still have a routine having to deal with that.
So we're using transition in the conventional sense of the word, then. They don't mean transitioning to another gender.
No, not gender. No, yeah. By school.
Sorry, when I hear that word transition, a little alarm goes off.
Okay, so two more things. So AB 2863, canceling your subscription services. This law requires that a business provides people the ability to cancel their subscriptions in the way that you start their subscriptions. So now you can't say, oh, you have this free trial now, and after the free trial, you can do this. Now you can cancel any time for these subscription fees. So instead of having to do a whole year, you could just cancel it there, and they'll have to refund the rest of the money for that year, which is, I think, personally a good thing too. I hate when I have to like save money in order to save for a whole pay year, and then I realize, you know what? I don't like that service anymore. I'm just going to go back to my other thing. Like, one of the big ones for me personally was this diet plan, where they would send you foods for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the foods were just okay in their options, but at some point I was like, you know, I don't want to do this whole month again. I really just want to cancel it the 2 weeks and then just move on, but unfortunately I have to stick with the two more weeks, so I'm okay with this one. Now, big one here, SB 1063, this is having schools that serve students from grade 7 through 12th grade, when they get their identification cards, they are required to put the 988 suicide and crisis lifeline printed on their identification cards. This will also have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And not only that, there's also going to be a QR code on the students' IDs to help with mental illness resources that they could use to help them through those struggling times.
Now, on the surface, I'm not hearing any problem with that. Do you have some issues with
this? I do not have any issues. I will say, if you want to do 988, I'm okay with that. Why do we have this 10-digit number still, if that's the case? I know it's still popular because of a song that was out about suicide rates. I don't have any issues with this, as we know that is for 10-year-olds to 34-year-olds, the second leading cause of death in the U.S. is suicide, which is a very, very horrible thing. And I'm glad that this sort of thing is coming around. I just thought this could be a big discussion for us because it's promoting something that is needed in the society.
Yeah, suicide is a very serious problem.
Yes.
Particularly with younger people.
Oh, yes.
Middle school, high school.
So this is the perfect realm, the 7th grade through 12th grade. I don't know for you personally, but 7th grade specifically for me in middle school was one of the toughest times.
I hated it. We called it junior high when I went. I hated that time of my life.
I don't know if it was a hormone situation, puberty situation.
It is. You're not quite a kid anymore, but you're not quite a teenager yet. It's this very awkward middle time, and the worst traits of human beings start to come out right around puberty, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. It's weird. During that time, I read The Catcher in the Rye, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Did you that book? I loved that book. I didn't like the way it ended. It was kind of depressing and a little anticlimactic, but I thought it was brilliantly written.
I felt sort of similar, where the ending is very anticlimactic, but at the same time, it's just life. That's going to be
life.
Well,
and J.D. Salinger was such an interesting person. Yeah. You told me you saw that movie about his life, Rebel in the Rye.
Yes, I did. It was very
Everybody should see that movie. It's such a primer for writing or anybody that wants to be a writer. It was just a wonderful movie.
I just thought it was very interesting how the response was. Like, everyone hated Caulfield in the book, but I felt personally that it was
Well, not the teenagers that he was writing for, though. The adults couldn't relate to Caulfield. They thought he was crazy or something.
Right.
But a lot of teenagers since then have sworn that that got them through high school and adolescence.
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, for me, it was someone that I could relate to in terms of the attitude with not only just in my personal life, but I would say in the society that I was looking at. I felt sort of rebellious in that stage too, like listening to the music my parents say, don't listen to. I did it secretly. I couldn't care. I needed something.
Yeah, and for him, writing almost became a religion. He finally went into seclusion and he was going to continue writing, but he didn't even want to publish anymore. It was just pure art of writing.
Yeah, and not to mention the other thing to keep in mind about that book too, is how protected he was of that book, and for that matter, his family. You don't know how many times studios have come to him and said, please, can we make a movie out of this here, specific, this movie?
Yeah, and he always said, nobody but me could play that part, and I'm too old.
Exactly.
So he didn't want... Also, I understood there was a short story of his that was made into a movie, and they just changed it and massacred it, and after that, he said never again.
Well, good for him. That kind of piece of work there needs some integrity behind it, and if Hollywood's not willing to do that integrity, then no one is, yeah. In my opinion. So
he's just a fascinating study.
Yeah. Wow, so those are some of the new laws that are coming into California, but this time around, the Supreme Court, boy, were they busy on Friday, Bob,
no,
weren't they ever?
Fooling, yeah. And once in a while, they get it right. I was very happy with these rulings.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back from the break here, okay?
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
So I said before our break, the Supreme Court was so busy this past Friday with a whole bunch of decisions.
Well, June's when they release all their verdicts.
Yeah, so here we go. We have, I think we have six different ones. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven different ones to go through. So sit back, relax, let's go over and see what kind of decisions they made. I'm going to start off with the one I have to say, I really disagree with this one here. Because this is not only a liberal issue, but this is a conservative issue. This goes on both sides, and I get so annoyed of this whole thing. So the Supreme Court has postponed the Louisiana redistricting case to next term. The U.S. Supreme Court on Friday said it would re-argue Louisiana's congressional redistricting plan in its next term after the summer. At the issue is the Louisiana legislature's creation of a black majority congressional district. A group of non-African American voters sued, claiming the district was an illegal racial gerrymander. Opponents of the redistricting had argued that the state legislature had unconstitutionally relied on race in drawing new congressional district lines. So gerrymandering in general to me is just so annoying. The whole point of redistricting your side is specifically for population.
Well, yeah, it's always political. I know they're bringing up race here, but they do it for other reasons too.
Exactly.
And it's always political. I would like to see that redistricting done away with somehow.
Exactly. I say set your district as it is.
And so they just kick the can, you're saying?
They're doing it for next year or next term, whenever it is. Either way, in my opinion about this whole gerrymandering thing in general is have your boundaries set and that's it. You're not moving it. You're not moving it left, right, up, down because of population based on the racial numbers specifically. All that should not matter. Just have your set boundaries and that's it. Do not redistrict in any sort of way because you get so many scandals behind redistricting in the first place. I told you before about a local case in this case where it was a school district vote and the people that wanted to vote for this side of district, they purposely gerrymandered her to go to a different district. So she had to force her family to move from another house inside the same city to another house so that way they could stay in that district and still be in that election. So it not only does it happen on a state level, but it happens within a local level too. And it's ridiculous. It's just time wasting and money consuming, and it's not fair in any sort of way. So I'm hoping that the Supreme Court the next term just does away with gerrymandering entirely. Because technically, I know it's overreaching certain powers, but that's what the forefathers put out front, is that saying that you guys decide on what the Constitution means, and therefore gerrymandering, you guys have the ruling to whether to make it illegal or not. Now, obviously, because of our checks and balances.
I think they've got to demonstrate that it's actually in the Constitution, not just decide that they know what it means.
Okay, gotcha. So. Well, I guess interpretation is they're using. And of course, the president has the executive order to put back gerrymandering if he does want to deal with that again, or the legislative branch for that matter, too. But until that happens, I say the Supreme Court, you have the ball in your court to change this whole situation. Please do so in the right way. I am begging you. So other things, the Supreme Court has upheld the South Carolina's ban on Medicaid funds for Planned Parenthood. Obviously, I know you are very, very happy for that one because the less funding towards Planned Parenthood, the better in that case.
Well, yeah, Planned Parenthood is a very pro-abortion group, and abortion hasn't been made illegal, but why should we from the federal level be giving money to Planned Parenthood when there's so many people that don't agree with that?
Right. They said here that the decision allows states to ban organizations from getting Medicaid reimbursements for cancer screenings and other care not related to abortion.
Planned Parenthood always advertised the things they do other than abortion to justify themselves, but abortion is what they're primarily about.
It's true. So Governor...
And there's other places you can go to for cancer screenings besides Planned Parenthood.
It's very true. Yes, exactly. And again, for those other services that Planned Parenthood says in the first place too, besides the cancer screenings, there's also facilities for that too.
Yeah, somebody on Medicaid can go to an actual hospital or clinic and get screened for cancer. That's why you go to your doctor and get a checkup.
It's very true. So South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster said taxpayers should not be forced to subsidize abortion providers who are in the direct opposition to their beliefs. That's what he said directly.
I agree with that.
There you go. All right, moving on to the next thing that we have here. We have this one. I don't know how you feel about this situation. So the Supreme Court has upheld a program providing subsidized internet and phone access to rural Americans. The reason why I ask this is because they say here that many conservative groups challenged the program, contending that Congress exceeded its powers enacting legislation that should be delegated from the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, the task of operating universal service funds, which is the program that is offering the subsidized telephone and internet services to rural healthcare providers, schools and libraries, and low-income Americans. So do you think the federal government...
I'd have to look at that in more detail. As a general rule, I would like to see things like the internet stay in the private sector and not be mandated mandated by the government.
Right. But do you have an issue with maybe, I guess, other federal agencies overstepping other federal agencies for that matter?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't really want to see the federal agencies get involved at all. I mean, I have real issues with the FCC and things like that, even this long before we even had the internet.
Right. I mean, look at us on radio. We can't. We're
yeah, look at all these words we're not allowed to use, Brendan.
George Carlin's really, really angry right now. I'm telling you what. But nevertheless, most of these votes, by the way, you will notice that most of these votes, 6-3, because of...
Yeah, they're really going down along ideological lines, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. The Supreme Court rejected this argument, saying that writing for 6-member court majority, Justice Elena Kagan said that Congress's delegation to the FCC did not violate any constitutional issues. So, again...
Well, that's probably technically true. We didn't have an FCC when the Constitution was written, and the Constitution does say that Congress can make their own laws.
Right.
And Congress created the FCC. So, whether you like the FCC or don't like the FCC, I'd have to say that constitutionally, that was probably the correct
thing. My other thing, too, is that we have so many agencies as it is and the government body as it is. So, with that in mind, any way that we can progress this country into a better way that we are right now in the society, I'm for it. So, if another agency steps on the toes of another agency to get things going faster, I say do it. Just let's get it done.
For God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee.
It's true. Next one. The Supreme Court has upheld key Obamacare measure on preventative care. This one says here that they're ensuring that some 150 million people will continue getting many free preventative services under the act. The vote was 6-3 with Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh joining the court's three liberal justices in the majority. This is allowing the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force to continue determining which services will be available free of cost to Americans covered by the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, well, Roberts sold us down the river when Obamacare came out, and I thought it was very unconstitutional, and he surprised everybody because he was relatively new at the time. So I don't agree with this decision. I just don't think we ever should have had Obamacare, period.
And are you surprised that Brett Kavanaugh actually joined this?
Well,
as well?
Yeah, Kavanaugh and Barrett, they've been hit and miss. The most reliable people to me have been Alito and Clarence Thomas, to a lesser degree, Gorsuch.
Well, a surprise, those two justices that you just mentioned voted against this one, too. Yeah. So I was actually kind of surprised on that because I really thought that this would have actually not gone through for sure. But I'm not surprised with you about Roberts.
In the sense that Roberts already upheld Obamacare, it makes sense
that made sense,
in his mind, to be consistent, he's got to uphold this, too.
But Barrett and Kavanaugh definitely surprised me. That's why I listed
those
two.
They have disappointed me, particularly Barrett, although this week she's come through for us, too. So she's been a mixed bag.
Okay, okay. Next one.
Through on other cases, I mean, not this one.
No, I understand, yeah. The Supreme Court on Friday also ruled that school systems are required to provide parents with an opt-out provision that excuses their children from class or when course materials conflict with their religious beliefs.
I say bravo for this one. I 100% agree
with
this.
Now, specifically, I think we're talking about LGBTQ characters in books.
Well, that's what brought it up, but it's a wider ruling. If they want to get up and just slam Christianity, that works the other way, too. If somebody was going to slam Islam and a Muslim parent wanted to take their kids out, they should have the right to do that, too.
Right.
But that's not going to happen.
And then the other thing, too, I would also say is also the theory of evolution from Darwin as well, too. I bet that's also been...
Yeah, I agree. If a parent doesn't want their kids listening to that, they don't have to. But even that's not as destructive as what is going on with these storybooks where Penelope's really a boy
and all that stuff.
A woman's body. Yeah.
Right, right. But in general, I just, again, there's a reason
Penelope
why...
Penelope was really a boy in a female body, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
I guess I need to get that right.
But nevertheless, I do want to mention that in the end, though, I still am for homeschooling for your kids in general.
Absolutely.
You decide on the lesson plans. You decide on what books your kids
cannot
read. But
if parents don't have the time to homeschool, they sure as heck should still have some say as to what's going on in the public school.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's their kids. It's their responsibility to raise their children.
Now, again, I don't agree with the whole parents should come right in and invade the kids' privacy
situation. No. I'm not saying micromanage and let the teachers do their job. But when the teachers are starting to say, hey, if you're having a problem with this, come to us, and your parents aren't allowed to know, what kind of garbage is that?
Right, I understand. I just remember when Florida passed that state law, it was the Say Something law, I remember. But one of the things in that law said that parents could come in and walk in and watch a teacher's lesson plans through the day. And I'm like, I don't know, just a random parent just coming in like that.
I don't want to see us go to that extreme, but I do think that controversial lessons, the parents should be notified.
I agree.
Have some say as to whether it goes on. But no teacher wants to be watched and micromanaged.
So the other one they did too, this one's the biggest one for sure. The Supreme Court limited nationwide injunctions in birthright citizenship order. You talked about this, I want to say, 2 weeks ago in a monologue, specifically describing how when someone is born on this soil, that makes them an American citizen. And you mentioned 2 weeks ago, no, that was specifically having to do with slaves.
If you look at the writings, and these weren't our forefathers, this was after the Civil War, but if you look at the dialogues going on with the people that made it, it had to do with slavery. It did not mean somebody can just come to America on vacation or illegally sneak across the border, have a baby, then the baby's a citizen. And then we have anchor citizenship where you get to stay because otherwise we're separating a family. Now, they didn't actually rule on that case, but what they did rule was on the procedures of judges overturning something from the president and whether they really have the authority to do that.
Right. I also was quite interested in this. The opinion blocks President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship from taking effect for 30 days while this litigation continues.
Because the court hasn't ruled on birthplace citizenship, but what they are saying is some judge in a district can't come up with a ruling that affects everybody else in the country. Now, apparently there's a walk around this, there's a workaround. If it's a class action lawsuit, then they can still do it. And the ACLU is already getting ready with a class action.
Here it comes. Oh, our favorite people.
So this isn't going to suddenly go away. Apparently, my limited information, a class action lawsuit's a little more difficult to pull off than what was going on with this judge
shopping. I just know that ACLU is always involved in every single one of them.
The ACPU is always around the corner.
Well, Bob, that was just some of them. So if you were interested in looking at all the other ones, please do so.
Those last two were the key ones that I was following.
Exactly.
Some of those others I had not followed. Brendan, thank you for doing your homework on this.
Of course, always glad. And we will see you guys next week. The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.